Om Agyanati Mirandasya Giranjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Pririna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Dugatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishubhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Katidana Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaiti Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 29, Bhakti Yoga, text number 36. Vishtavya Chitam Pranaya Avagurnam Daryena Rajan Bahu Manyamana Krita Anjali Praha Yadu Praviram Shishna Sprishan Tat Sharana Aravindam Vishtavichitam Pranayava Gurnam Daryena Rajan Bahumanyamana Pritanjali Praha Yadu Praviram Shirshnas Prishams Tat Charnaravindam Vishtavya Restraining Chitam, his mind. Pranaya, with love. Avagurnam, completely agitated. Daryena, with steadfastness. Rajan, O king. Bahumanyamana, feeling grateful. Krita Anjali, his hands folded. Praha, he spoke. Yadu Praviram, to the greatest hero of the Yadus. Shirshna, with his head. Sprishan, touching. Tat, his. Charanaravindam, lotus feet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By Prabhupada's disciples. Please repeat, steadying his mind, which had become overwhelmed with love, Uddhava felt extremely grateful to Lord Krishna. The greatest hero of the Yadu dynasty. My dear King Parikshit, Uddhava bowed down to touch the Lord's lotus feet with his head and then spoke with folded hands. Purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, the fear of separation from Lord Krishna was continually entering the mind of Sri Uddhava, and thus he tried to maintain his enthusiasm by remembering the Lord's great kindness upon him. He steadied his mind with feelings of gratitude towards the Lord. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Viranta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Boravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyadhyade Sakarne. Here Uddhava is speaking directly to Lord Krishna, who is giving him instructions before Uddhava is about to depart and Krishna is about to depart also. Now, first of all, we're not conscious of Krishna or fully conscious of Krishna enough to understand exactly what it means to feel separation from Krishna. First, we have to become conscious of Krishna, then we'll find out what it means to feel separation from him. Or on the other hand, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're learning how to feel separation from Krishna, and in that way, we're learning how to become conscious of Krishna. It is said, for instance, in the Krishna book, that the gopis of Vrindavan were so attached to Krishna that they were not satisfied simply with the rasa dance at night. They wanted to associate with him and enjoy his company during the daytime. When Krishna went to the forest with his cowherd boys and the cows, the gopis didn't physically take part, but their hearts went with him. And because their hearts went, they were able to enjoy his company through strong feelings of separation. To acquire this strong feeling of separation is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and is the direct simplest succession of Goswamis. When we're not in physical contact with Krishna, we can also feel the separation of Krishna by worshipping his transcendental name, his form, his qualities, and his pastimes. There are nine different kinds of devotional service, and devotional service to Krishna in feelings of separation elevates the devotee to the highest devotional perfection, to the level of the gopis. It is stated by Srinivasacharya in his prayers to the six Goswamis. They gave up the material opulence and princely status of life and lived in Vrindavan just like ordinary mendicants begging from door to door. But they were so much enriched with the gopis' feelings of separation that they enjoyed transcendental pleasure at every moment. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya was at Jagannath Puri, he was in the role of Srimati Radharani, feeling the separation from Krishna. Those who are in the simple succession, the Madhva, Gaudiya Sampradaya, should also feel the separation of Krishna, worship his transcendental form, discuss his transcendental teachings, his qualities, and his pastimes. The spiritual masters should enrich the devotees to the highest devotional perfection, feeling constant separation from Krishna while engaged in devotional service is the perfection of devotional service or Krishna consciousness. So we're meant to come to that platform of feeling constant separation from Krishna. But to understand what that means, we have to engage in the process of devotional service. In other words, along with our seemingly ordinary service we're doing day to day, we're also supposed to be in the mood of the gopis. If we look at the gopis, they were not, well, what were they doing? They were cooking for Krishna, they were cleaning for Krishna, they were churning butter for Krishna, they were making garlands for Krishna. They didn't have a big, big position in society. In the Vedic society, they weren't Brahmins, they weren't Kshatriyas, they weren't Vaishyas, they weren't even, they were just seemingly ordinary ladies living in a village in India. But we worshiped them because they were constantly absorbed in loving feelings of separation from Krishna. Not exactly for the service they were doing. Otherwise, everyone who is churning butter would be written down in the Bhagavatam. But not everyone is. And similarly, well, for instance, we're reading the Krishna book. We're not reading exactly just a story about Krishna. Along with the story of Krishna is the vision and the feelings of are being expressed of his devotees. It's the conversation between devotees. And along in that conversation, along with that information being given, also other feelings, and in this case, the feelings of separation by the gopis. As we're doing our ordinary activities, we're also supposed to remember these pastimes, that Krishna is in Vrindavan. For instance, it is said in that same story, when Krishna was seen walking on the bank of the Yamuna, he was nicely decorated with tilak on his forehead, and he was garlanded with different kinds of forest flowers, and his body was smeared with the pulp of sandalwood and tulsi leaves. The bumblebees became mad after the treasure and the sweetness of the atmosphere, and being pleased by the humming sound of the bees, Krishna began to play upon his flute, and the combined sounds became so sweet to hear that the aquatic birds, like the crown, the ducks, the swans, and the ducks, cranes, stopped swimming and flying and became stunned, and then they closed their eyes and entered into a trance of meditation and worship of Krishna. So there is a gopi talking to another gopi about this, and along with that conversation, there are her feelings of loving separation from Krishna. Now, if we read these stories, or in this, here we have Uddhava feeling separation, and seemingly there is some kind of even some kind of fault or something. Indeed, how could, that as if Uddhava was somehow or another affected by some kind of material energy, as we see in the next verse. I'll read the next verse here. It says the translation, Sri Uddhava said, "Oh, I'm born primeval Lord. Although I have fallen to the great darkness of illusion, my ignorance has now been dispelled by your merciful association. Indeed, how can cold, darkness, and fear exert their power over one who has approached the brilliant sun?" So this is Prabhupada's disciple's purport. Although Sri Uddhava fears separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, he now understands that in a fundamental sense, the Lord is everything. Krishna consciousness can never be threatened or diminished for one who has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Obviously, Uddhava was not an illusion or in darkness. He's an eternal associate of Krishna. And this sense, his feeling separation from Krishna may cause him at times to say words that are appropriate for a pure devotee feeling such separation. But we shouldn't take them as literal fact. Just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is narrating the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's saying in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that I'm lower than the worm and stool, that whoever takes my name, they become completely fallen, or at once fallen. Obviously, such a great soul as Krishnadas Kaviraj, who can write the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's certainly worthy of glorification. And we can take his humility, expressing himself as being lower than the worm and stool. That he's even above the demigods, according to Lord Krishna. But Prabhupada said, he's actually feeling this humility. He's not just pretending, writing something down in a book. Sometimes the devotees go up to each other, they fold their hands, and they say, that, you know, I'm the most fallen, or they talk as if they're very, very humble. And indeed, in one sense, it's nice to talk like that. It's better to go up to someone and say, I'm the best here. Everyone should worship me. Bow down and touch my feet because I'm a great devotee. Better to be a little humble. But sometimes our humility doesn't really express what we're really feeling in our heart. But such a great personality as Krishnadas Kaviraj, Goswami, although he's expressing great humility, but we should understand he's a very exalted personality. Similarly, these feelings of separation are not so easy to acquire, although they're very desirable. Therefore, there's a process. Somehow or another, we find ourselves in the 11th canto. And although the 11th canto is more philosophy, as a matter of fact, it's a great deal of philosophy, more than even the 10th canto, but it's not by accident, it comes after the 10th canto. We shouldn't think that so easily that we can enter into the mystery of what's actually being explained here. Partially, we have to enter into it, or else there's no sense of performing devotional service. To some degree, Krishna says, bhakti mam abhijananti yavanyaschasmitattvataha, that one can understand me only through the process of devotional service, and one who has understood me in this way, he can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So we have to try and enter into the mysteries of Krishna's understanding. But we should understand that our method is not to try to do something extraordinary or think of something extraordinary. It's not that we should now, after this class, try to figure out how am I going to feel separation, great love from Krishna. It would be nice if things were easily like that, but that people who think like that, who try to do things like that, are usually called sahajiyas. The very simple process of devotional service that Srila Prabhupada gave us, namely coming to Mangala Arati, chanting 16 rounds, following the regular principles, taking prasadam, reading his books, going on sankirtan, etc. These seemingly very ordinary processes, this is the actual process that we have to perform in order to become purified so that our natural awareness of Krishna will awaken while we're performing these processes, especially the holy name. The holy name of Krishna is Krishna. It's not that sometimes when some people chant Hare Krishna, then Krishna appears through his holy name. And otherwise, when someone else chants Hare Krishna, Krishna is really not there because I don't feel his presence. So how could he be there? Because if he was there, I'd feel his presence. Oh, he's there. Srimati Radharani is there. Even when we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, these personalities are actually available, but we're not there. We're not conscious. Therefore, we become conscious, and then we'll become conscious of the fact that they're there when we chant Hare Krishna or read about them. Or, to the extent that we actually become conscious, to that extent we'll become conscious of this, that Krishna and his name, his form, his quality, his pastimes, everything about him are identical. Therefore, our first business is to become purified. Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabravad Graham Indriyai Seva Mukhehi Jivado Swayam Eva Spratido, that no one can understand Krishna through these blunt senses. But when one is purified by the process that we're following, especially beginning with the tongue, nicely taking Krishna prasadam and nicely chanting Hare Krishna, then the result is that one can actually perceive Krishna's presence. And Krishna's presence, how do we know if we're perceiving Krishna's presence? Because Krishna is the reservoir of knowledge, as it says here, that anyone who become, as much as we become conscious of Krishna, to that extent, simultaneously, we become conscious of everything else as it actually is. And as much as we become conscious of Krishna, at least during that time that we are conscious of Krishna, we can feel spiritual pleasure, which is, we can understand the difference between mundane pleasure and spiritual pleasure. But that doesn't mean either illumination for us or transcendental happiness will come all at once. Sometimes Krishna, due to his causes, for his own reasons and his causes mercy, will give us realizations and transcendental experiences at different times, either to encourage us or to reward us or for whatever his reasons are. And this way we gradually enter into the understanding and the how wonderful is the process. But that doesn't mean that if we get a little happiness or a little illumination, now we've understood everything. One probably was walking with Giriraj Maharaj one time on the beach of Mumbai. Prabhupada made a philosophical statement, and then Giriraj Maharaj responded, "Well, thank you very much, Prabhupada. I was in Maya, I didn't understand." And Prabhupada's response was, "You didn't understand because you were Maya, you're always in Maya. It's not that if we get a little understanding, then suddenly we're out of Maya. Maybe eventually we'll approach the mode of goodness, and then we'll be in Maya in the mode of goodness, which will certainly be an elevated state where our knowledge will certainly be greatly expanded and progressively expanded until we reach the state of pure goodness. But in the meantime, we shouldn't take every perspective I have on things as absolute, especially when we're still obviously in the modes of ignorance and passion and just trying to approach the mode of goodness. In any case, it is valuable to appreciate when we hear, when we read these, well, first of all, it's very valuable to understand that the very process that we're following, especially chanting Hare Krishna in the proper way, in a way which will increase our consciousness of Krishna, which is, Prabhupada said, is based simply upon our sincerity. As much as we make an effort throughout the whole day, actually engage in Krishna's service and his mission, the mission of Lord Chaitanya, to that extent it becomes easier when we're chanting our rounds to sincerely call out to Srimati Radharani and Krishna to engage in their loving service, because that is their loving service in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. It is not that Srimati Radharani and Krishna in the spiritual world, they have one program and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a different program. So let us bypass Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program because it's a little inconvenient. It requires too much austerity. We have to go out and meet people and preach them that they're not their body, etc. So just bypass that stage and just talk about Rasa Tattva of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. And then we can avoid all these inconveniences. Have to approach people who are not necessarily very receptive and try to influence them to try to become a devotee of Krishna, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. But Lord Nityananda, who's Krishna himself also, that's what he did. That's what Haridasa Thakur did. They didn't simply sit around in the Gambira and talk about Radha and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may have been absorbed for a good part of his life in such pastimes of Radha and Krishna, but that's who he is. He happens to be Radha and Krishna. So it's just natural for him to actually feel separation. But his expansions, they're servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because, by the way, well, we're not going to become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore we should not simply imitate him. We should follow his instructions, and the best and how to follow his instructions can be seen by those who are acting as his servants, not imitating him. So Lord Nityananda, although he's God himself, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he acted as a servant of Lord Chaitanya. So our role is to be more a servant of Lord Nityananda. So that's our disciple succession. The spiritual master is supposed to be a representative of Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda, what did he do under Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's orders? He would go door to door and tell people, Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shika. Bolo Krishna, chant Krishna's name, Bhaja Krishna, worship Krishna, Koro Krishna, Shika, follow Krishna's instructions. It is not that he was missing something, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was with his three and a half confidential servants, Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar and Sika Mahidi and his sister. And they were sitting discussing the confidential pastimes of Radha Krishna Leela in the Gambhira. And Lord Nityananda, poor Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur and others, they had to go out and distribute this philosophy and this teaching to others. So they were deprived. The six Goswamis and everyone else, they had to do all the mundane work, while Lord Chaitanya and his intimate associates did all the spiritual work. That would be a great misconception to think that what Lord Nityananda was doing was any less spiritual than what Lord Chaitanya's other associates were doing. Indeed, Prabhupada would emphasize that this preaching work is actually the mature service to Lord Chaitanya in this age. And this is what we should follow, not imitate some Babaji in Vrindavan who prematurely, before they became perfect in Krishna consciousness, decided to do Nirjan Bhajan. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Well, as long as we're intending. For instance, we chant schnick schnick ram ram day 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 day. I don't know who is present at that time. But if our attention is to call for Krishna, then for us, Krishna is present in that intention to the extent. I mean, Krishna is already present everywhere. He's in every atom. So it's not that when we call Krishna's name, suddenly Krishna's presence. He's already present. He's in our heart. He's present in every atom. He's aware. But when we call out to that extent, then we become conscious of it.
For example, it says that when those people who, like professional chanters, who are non-devotees, when they pronounce Krishna's name, it has no potency, right?
Well, for them it has no potency. And for the people who are listening, maybe if they have the wrong philosophy. In other words, if you hear the philosophy from a person who doesn't know the philosophy, then how can it have any potency? Because you're hearing the wrong thing. But if you hear from the right person, you have the right perspective, and if someone's chanting Hare Krishna, then you'll be in ecstasy. If you have the right conception. When Murugupta was attending to the Mohammedan, we'll give you that example. The Mohammedan king, he was a physician of the Mohammedan king. Then one of his servants brought a peacock fan to fan the king. And as soon as Murari Gupta saw the peacock fan, he remembered Krishna and fell down from the throne in ecstasy. Now, it's just an ordinary peacock feather brought by a Mohammedan servant. But for him, it was Krishna who was present. Or we have the example of Gadadhar, Sri Gadadhar, the effulgence of Srimati Radharani. He broke into the Kazi's house one night, Kazi who killed cows and Brahmins and who was a terror, and he demanded that the Kazi chant Hare Krishna. So he was so powerful, Sri Gadadhar, when the Kazi woke up, more or less coming with a sword to kill whoever the intruder was, when he saw it was Sri Gadadhar, then he said, "Oh, Gadadhar, just go to sleep. Don't bother me." He said, "Well, I want you to chant Hare Krishna." So the Kazi said that, actually, Gadadhar was saying even stronger language. But the Kazi said, "Oh, Gadadhar, just go to sleep. Tomorrow I'll chant Hare Krishna." But when Sri Gadadhar heard this, he began to dance in ecstasy. He said, "He did it, you did it, he did it, you did it. You chanted the holy names, just keep on chanting the holy names." So for him, hearing the holy name from the lips of the Kazi, he was in ecstasy. Not that you're a meteor, your name has no potency, chanted, but it wasn't really the holy name. No, for him, it was Krishna was there. Anything else? Thank you very much. Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hribo.